living longer and staying healthier. It's Healthy Talk with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. Here's your host, Dr. Mike.
So we're going to talk about improving doctor-patient relationships. My guest is Julia Shopik. She's the best-selling author of the book Honest Medicine, Effective, Time-Tested, Inexpensive Treatments for Life-Threatening Diseases. She's a seasoned radio talk show host herself. She's been on all kinds of shows, I think over like 100 different shows, and is often invited back. She's been on my show before. She has a great website, honestmedicine.com. Julia, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Dr. Mike, it's so good to be back here. I enjoyed you the last time, and I'm looking forward to today.
Yeah, no, this is good. What an important conversation. You know, so when I was in medical school, actually, no, when I was in my internship, Julia, I did internal medicine at the University of Utah. And once a week, or maybe once every couple of weeks, we had a physician who would come in. He was in his 80s. He was retired. And the reason they brought him in is because the program director wanted us to learn the art of listening, the art of physical exam. Because what's happened is doctors have become so dependent on technology that they don't really listen anymore. They don't touch anymore. So when you wanted to talk to me about this, building a better doctor-patient relationship, I really relate to this, and I thought that what a great topic. But let's just real quickly, how did you become such a patient advocate?
Well, I became a patient advocate, actually, Dr. Mike, because I had to. And that was when my husband, at the age of 40, became a diagnosed brain tumor patient. And for the first few years, I actually didn't advocate for him. You know, we were so frightened, so terrified, that we just went in lockstep with what the doctors said. And that was surprising for me, because my dad was a doctor, and he told me, do not be passive before the medical system. He said, be wary. But, you know, when you're confronted with a diagnosis like a brain tumor, all heck breaks loose, and you just...
Yeah. Scary.
It was very, very scary.
When was this, if you don't mind me asking?
Absolutely not. I don't mind you asking at all. He was diagnosed in 1990. He was 40 years old, and as I said, for the first few years, you know, we just went in lockstep with what the doctor said. But then after that, I noticed he was outliving his prognosis. They gave him 3 years.
Oh,
he
nice.
Was living longer. So I started becoming an advocate. And, you know, in the beginning, it had nothing to do with the doctors, because we were just doing things on our own, like nutrition and good diet, and, you know, we got a nutritionist. But then, in 2001, he had a recurrence, and what I found was that his skin would not heal. And he had had radiation previously. I know we don't have a long time, so I'm trying to cut the story short a little bit. But he had had radiation, and his skin wouldn't heal. And at that point, I really, really learned about the miscommunication between doctors and patients.
You talk about the empowered patient, right? That's kind of your... What do you mean by the empowered patient?
Empowered patient, by the way, I'm not crazy about the word empowered, but if you can think of another one, I'll take it.
Okay, I'll work with that. I'll work with you on that one.
I'm not, because it's sort of, you know, in the self-help group, they use empowered a lot. It's self-help groups. But the empowered patient is one who does not just take what the doctor says, you know, who knows if the doctor gives a diagnosis and treatments that are working, to accept them. But not if they're not working, to speak up, I don't want to say defend yourself, because it acts like that's a big fight, but you know.
No, but Julie, let me play devil's advocate for a second, because there's a lot of doctors, especially doctors who were trained in the 80s and 90s, you know, I was trained in the late 90s, you know, that's when technology was just having this boom, and we lost a little bit when it came to that, I think, doctor-patient relationship, because we're so reliant on that technology. A lot of doctors from that age group are kind of, they take on this paternal type role with their patients. So what does an empowered patient do if their doctor doesn't want to? Do you just have to fire the doctor and go find another one?
Well, that's an option, but I want to tell you something. May I segue a little bit, because you're going to laugh at this. My dad actually was a doctor in, you know, the 60s and a little bit into the 70s, and at that point, tests were coming into favor. Never as many tests as we have now. But he used to say, right. All those damn tests, doctors don't listen anymore.
Right, yeah. Well, and that's when it kind of exploded, was the 80s and 90s, right? I mean, that's when technology really took off.
That's when technology took off. But, Dr. Mike, tests started to be developed way before then. My father was known to be able to tell what was wrong with a patient by looking at him, by feeling his or her skin, and asking questions, and then being quiet and listening. And
so, how do we find? Okay, so how can somebody find a doctor who's more like an advocate for them versus that paternal type role? I mean, how do you go about finding that right doctor?
The way you do it actually is probably to interview different doctors, to ask your friends, to talk to the friends especially who are more active kinds of people and who wouldn't just, you know, want a passive relationship. But the problem comes when you're diagnosed with a very serious, serious illness. What do you do if the neurosurgeon, as in our case, is very paternalistic? Then you've got a problem, and you have to really stand up for yourself and say, you know, doctor, I was hoping you could explain this a little bit better. And doctor, I'm not sure I agree with you on this. What do you think? And then if they get very hostile, you do have to go look for another one, even if it's a serious illness, and that is difficult.
Yeah. So in your book, Honest Medicine, which really is a collection, right, of people you've interviewed, people who have, you know, really taken over, kind of, as you say, empowered themselves and have some great success stories. So are all of these stories you tell in that book, are these people who really sought out a better doctor-patient relationship? Or were they using, when you went through your research, did you find all these patients you interviewed, were they kind of like that empowered patient?
You know, they became like that empowered patient. But I have to tell you, in the beginning, they were like we were, you know, my husband and I, when they got their diagnosis. They waited too long. And one of the messages of the book, of my book, Honest Medicine, is to follow your gut. Listen to your gut.
Yeah.
And if doctor is not saying things that resonate with you, move on, which is what a lot of patients
What about doing this, Julia? You know, so, and because I've told some friends of mine, you know, even Life Extension members, I've suggested to them that if there's something you want to try, especially in the supplement world, right? A lot of the conventional doctors are still kind of not sure about all that. What about just bringing in some of the literature that supports what it is you want to do?
This is a very good idea, and it's one that I use a lot. But here's the big but. You have to make sure that you present the literature in a way that is really, really thought out ahead of time. In other words, you know, my dad used to always complain that patients were bringing in the Reader's Digest and thinking that the Reader's Digest knew more than they. What patients do today is they bring in literature, but they kind of don't present it in a very coordinated manner. And I have developed a system. I'm glad you asked this, because I do coaching sessions with patients on how to bring material to your doctor, and the way to do it.
Well, let me, Julie. We're out of time. Is that information on how to do this on the website honestmedicine.com?
It's actually going to be on the website honestmedicine.com, because I'm adding a chapter to the book now, which I will place on the website first.
So I'm going to tell my listeners to go check out Julia. She's wonderful. honestmedicine.com. Julie, thanks for coming on. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.